Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Back Row Fantasy Show with your hosts, Jeremy Barker, Aaron Arms, and Chad Niddle.
Hey, it's Bark, and we're back. The Back Row Fantasy Show is back. And on my left is Arms.
Good morning.
And on my right is Knit.
It's nice to be back from the hiatus.
It is. The holidays kind of derail stuff.
So what do we got on the agenda today?
Today's episode that you are listening to currently is going to be all about the Back Row Fantasy Awards.
Do we get like, you know, There She Comes, Miss America type music?
We can.
No.
Or we could do like Royal Regal Ric Flair entrance music.
I like it.
You know, I like the Ric Flair music.
You know, on the last episode where we did the Hulk Hogan music,
yeah.
When I put that episode to YouTube, it got rejected.
That's hilarious.
Because of that music. Like, how the heck does it find? How does it just hone in?
That little spurt, the 15 seconds of...
They're clearly using Shazam in their YouTube screens.
Oh, I forgot about Shazam.
I think you're onto something there.
Great movie, by the way.
All right.
No, so it isn't.
It is a great movie. So anyway,
Shaquille O'Neal.
Ooh, Shaq.
Very underrated as an actor.
Oh, we're rejected.
The awards. The awards. The Back Row Fantasy Awards, brought to you in part by Newcastle Brown Ale. Also brought to you by Camel Wide Cigarettes
and Grizzly Long Cut Wintergreen.
I didn't realize this intro was this long.
I didn't either.
It's very long.
But it's okay.
It takes a dude like 20 minutes to walk through, and he's 70-some years old.
Well, you know, he knows how to strut his stuff.
He does.
Much like a lot of the players that played on your fantasy teams this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's get it rip-roaring. And also, we do have Skype up and ready to go. We may make some surprise calls to anyone that's online, something we announced earlier on Twitter. We may not. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll see if time permits that to happen.
The interactive social media session has begun.
We're an interactive show. I mean, we're a slap and tickle away from living with you. I mean,
slap and tickle.
A little slap and tickle away from living with you.
That sounds exciting.
That does sound exciting.
It does.
Shoot. You just diving into this thing? You just going to bring it in? You want to talk about like...
Anybody get the slap and tickle for Christmas? I mean, I got to ask that, I guess.
No.
None of us are celebrating championships this year, are we?
I guess we should actually talk on that point. Let's
I was runner-up.
Yeah, and it's money. And
split the pot. Split the pot, baby. I'll take split the pot before the game anytime.
It was a good call. It was a good call. That was a juggernaut you're facing.
Let's let the listeners know what we did. I was in 7 leagues, playoffs in 6 out of 7, bye week in 3 out of 7.
Nice.
So, I mean, great fantasy season all the way around, but I had a common denominator named Adam Thielen on just about all of those teams. And I'm not blaming it all on Mr. Thielen, but I exited the playoffs every single one of those leagues. All the bye week ones, immediately. As soon as I played coming off the bye, it was over. I had no Melvin Gordon. Adam Thielen was just kind of not doing his thing, and I paid for it. So number one rule of the day from my perspective anyways, do not load your teams with the same players. Granted, I didn't do that with many players, but Thielen was a common constant on every single team.
Well,
that
I believe I had Thielen as a top five wide receiver this year in my preseason rankings.
Yeah,
I was very confident in him to finish as a stud. I didn't expect the season to be that good as it was for the first 60-70% of it.
But he literally went from wide receiver one to like wide receiver seven over the final 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah,
and we still got one to go.
But I'd venture to say, you know, you made the league. You had him in what, six or seven leagues. You may not, if you didn't have him in a couple, you may not have gotten there. So,
right.
I mean, you have to, you can't just, you can't just blame it all on one guy when he gets you there.
Definitely noticed the common denominator, though. But that was my fantasy season in a nutshell.
So, I was in five leagues. Two of them were takeovers, really, really bad takeovers. The other three, I made the playoffs out of two of them, and then there's the league that we were all in together. And I made the semifinals in both of them that I made the playoffs in. And my common denominator for the one was Michael Thomas. Just huge, huge letdown. I had Odell Beckham Jr. on that team. He laid down and decided he wasn't going to play. I firmly believe he's not really hurt, to be honest with you. I think that he just doesn't want to get hurt because they're not competitive.
Ooh. That's rough.
I 100% believe that. And the other league, it's a 32-teamer, and, man, I faced an animal. I mean, I just faced the best team in the league. And
He faced the animal.
In 32 teams, I just had too many zeros, you know, too many players that put up a goose egg and with not enough time to pick anyone up whenever I found out someone else, you know, a running back was going to be out, and I didn't have enough time to pick it up. So got beat by the eventual league champion, I believe.
Word.
Nit, who knocked me out of the playoffs in the most important league.
Oh, yes, I did.
How did your fantasy season go?
Well, I made the playoffs in 100% of my leagues.
How many leagues are you in?
All two of them, or both.
Hey,
both
it doesn't them. Matter There's how many leagues you're that. In. Just, I want to throw that out there, too. All these analysis experts and hardcore players that are in 15 leagues, like, how do you pay attention to all of them? The best thing about fantasy is finding a couple leagues you enjoy and putting everything into them.
Now, I will say, going back to not loading your team with the same players, not always true for your second-tier guys. If you have your guys you're confident in...
He's going on the depth.
No, he's right, though.
No,
what did you call it last episode?
Competitive depth.
Competitive CD. Depth.
If you
have your competitive depth guys that you're just getting at market low value early in the season, go out and get them on all squads. Because, I mean, they're your wide receiver. Like, I played Alshon, and I picked up Alshon for nothing in my second league, and he was my competitive depth guy. Is a 10-teamer, so, but, I mean, a great guy to have. Not going to blow you away.
But if you have an Odell Beckham...
Exactly.
And Alshon's, you know, your replacement, you're pretty satisfied.
You're not stepping down that far, all right? And then I loaded up with, like, Philip Lindsay on both squads, that sort of thing. So the competitive get that. Now, my high-end guys were totally different. Not saying I had any high-end guys in our league. I just had a roster full of
Well, we've had that league for a little while, so.
But, hey, I don't know. I don't know. It's just.
Did you win the other league?
Third. Playing for money, though, because there's a dollar pickup. Any sort of offseason trade, when you traded or played or picked up a free agent, a dollar went in the pot, so third paid out.
Nice.
Need some money.
Can we get on the website a nice little strategy chart called CK's CD Strategy?
I like it. Nick, I'll give you the competitive death guys. Another little thing I saw on the Twitter sphere today. I actually dabbled on the Twitter sphere today.
Whoa.
There was a nice little running, I don't know what they're called. running comment thread over.
Yeah.
It just started out, who was your fantasy tight end?
Oh, I saw that.
On league championship teams. And the common denominator, you didn't see any.
Nate Hamilton, I think, posted that.
Yeah, yeah.
There
were no bad tight ends.
No. Like, you may have had someone who had a Jared Cook who finished, I believe, in the top 10.
Right. I saw a Trey Burton in there. You know.
But he was a top 10 guy, if I'm not
mistaken. We're saying bottom of the top 10 still got it done for you, baby.
But one guy was like Kelsey on his three teams.
Several Zach Ertz guys.
One guy got there with Gronk. Gronk did score 10 a game, so, I mean, we can't. He's on our list, and we'll find out where. But, you know, Gronk is still a top tight end. He's just not the top like we expected.
Exactly.
But three out of the four, probably four out of the five responses were Gronk. Four out of the five responses were Ertz, Kittle, Kelce, essentially those three guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how it went down the chart. And then you had your Gronk every now and again, your Jared Cook.
I did not see anyone who had a bad tight end. I didn't see, and I don't think Ricky Seals-Jones is terrible, but nobody made, I didn't see anyone say, yeah, I won it with Ricky Seals-Jones.
I saw one guy, but I did see one guy say, like, he streamed Evan Engram and Austin Hooper.
I'll buy that.
Which, I mean, that's
a good tight end.
Yeah, if you can match those guys up in the right way and predict their week-to-week point output,
right?
That's a good quality tight end overall. So, hey, I've always believed in tight end quality. I just love that thread and loved reading through it just to confirm what I always thought I knew.
You got to have a good tight end. Probably, I want to say there's like 50 replies that I got through, and I, once again, didn't see any bad tight ends in that whole list.
No.
The worst one I saw was probably
Ebron.
Not the worst, but I was the Engram and Hooper combo. That was probably the worst one I saw.
And you're talking about combo and the number 6-7 guy.
Did have a guy who ended up like four people and finished with the championship with Cameron Braid. I'm like, wow, you worked the waiver wire, my friend.
Yeah.
You worked that waiver wire.
But that's someone who's in-season management. And, that's another thing to talk about whenever you're trying to get to a championship. I feel like that's not how I beat you. That's how I got to the playoffs, was in-season management. I made my run, made my trades, matched up the players that needed to be matched up. You can't just draft it and forget it. There's no draft it, forget it. You have to end season management on the waiver wire through trades and just watching matchups. It's a little bit, dude, that's the exciting part to me.
Agreed.
Yes.
It's all exciting. But that being said, it's been a long, grueling season, and I'm okay with seeing it end. I am okay with seeing it end. I'm ready to get to off-season projections. I'm ready to get to some trading and reconfiguring my team a little bit. Not that I think it needs to happen. I mean, I got a first-round bye in the playoffs in my main league, but when you stop making moves is when you fall behind, and I'm ready to make some moves this off-season. I'm ready to take Thielen and maybe move him, ready to move a little Diggs, and who knows, maybe even Melvin Gordon. I don't know.
That's funny I'm just that you say to... that, but because I'm sitting here with, in that league, Kamara and Michael Thomas, and I'm like, you know,
I wouldn't move him.
I don't want to move him.
I wouldn't.
But if the opportunity is right and the player, you know, the
correct.
If I can get some quality guys out of, you know, say three real high quality guys, draft
Arms
picks
is
out of them.
All about those quality guys.
You know, versus. You know, just having two absolute studs, it might not be a terrible move. I'll have to see see what offers come in the offseason.
Love getting a stud in the offseason.
Quality meat.
Love it.
I'm actually looking to – I'm hoping to maybe turn my Thielen shares into some Michael Thomas shares. I'm probably going to have to pay up a little more, but I'm going to make some moves. I'm going to make some head-scratching, surprising moves this offseason.
Well, I got Michael Thomas.
I'm
if you
excited.
Got Adam Thielen, let's talk, baby.
We can talk right after the episode. We can see what else I need to pay up to make that happen. But
halfway through the season, dead even trade.
Yeah, but the age factor. I mean,
yeah, no,
Michael
I'm
Thomas,
saying.
they were so close even mid-season. Like, they were both so good. Even I wouldn't have been like, well, yeah, I'll give you Michael Thomas straight up for Thielen. I would have needed something more to take on that extra 4 years of age.
Yeah.
Not the 4 years is a huge deal, but.
Not particularly wide receiver.
Right.
At running back, it's catastrophic. Difference between 26-year-old and 30-year-old is mind-blowing. So, anyhow, Bark.
Anywho's, and let's talk fantasy awards. And I know that me and Arms are on the same page. Haven't got a chance to talk to Nittle yet because me and Arms were here 5 minutes before Nitt walked in and had just enough time to talk about who our fantasy player of the year was. It was Patrick Mahomes, man. I know he was on my team, but the fantasy player of the year in my eyes was a guy that was drafted where, Arms?
Pick 106 on my fantasy league. That's the end of the seventh round, pick 710. He was the 15th quarterback off the board. People that were waiting on quarterback, some people were taking a second quarterback before Patrick Mahomes came off the board.
Yep.
Think for just one moment how much of a value you got out of that guy. I mean, he went from someone who, literally, he's a flyer. We thought really right. highly of him. I think all of us had him in our top 10. And we loved him in the offseason, and he quarterback
it
number
exceeded
one
our expectations.
By, I want to say, a fairly wide margin. I want to say it was in our league, particularly
6 points a game.
Yeah, it was 87-point difference in our league format. Yeah.
And I got him in an auction league for $15, I think, whereas some other quarterbacks went as high as $50-some dollars in an auction league. And the whole league said I stole him, but I'm like, why'd you let me? Like, why did you let me steal him?
But there, at no point with Patrick Mahomes did you ever look at his stat line and think, God, he just lost me that week. Never. I mean,
week 15 hurt me a little, not because he had a bad week. Had an off week by his standards.
I was going to say, week 15, he was quarterback number six.
Right, which is fine, which is great.
You're ecstatic with that.
But he
averaged a 4 point. He averaged 4 points 40. More than the number two guy.
Right.
I mean, he was that much better than number two. The only argument I have, which I agree. I'll go ahead and say I fully agree.
So I was getting ready to ask if you had a different take on it.
There's one other guy in the conversation. If we were doing the Heisman thing, the Heisman invite, I would invite one other person. I wouldn't just run it away with Patrick Mahomes. And it's Christian McCaffrey. Just because he led running backs, ADP 10, I think he is ADP 10, 8, something like that, running back this year. I mean, the guy, and that's kind of something that we predicted preseason, was if he gets the touches in the run game, he should maintain in the receiving game, getting the end zone, et cetera. And the guy goes out and outperforms Todd Gurley through 16 weeks. Pretty amazing. I give him the invite to our little MVP ceremony, but it's Patrick Mahomes.
And the big major thing about Christian McCaffrey is even the great Todd Gurley had a single-digit week.
Right. Yeah.
Zeke left you with a single-digit week. You know, Saquon Barkley, he left you with a single-digit week. Christian McCaffrey never did.
Well, McCaffrey didn't kill you in the playoffs either. Like, if you were a Gurley owner and you did not have him because he was out for that week of the playoffs, like, McCaffrey, to me, I've got McCaffrey as my honorable mention, basically my runner-up for player of the year. So I'm glad you mentioned that. I have him down. If it was not for Patrick Mahomes, it was Christian McCaffrey as the player of the year in fantasy.
I actually agree with you guys 100% on that. And I'm not a big Christian McCaffrey fan. And I will go ahead and kind of put this as a sidebar and say we do play PPR. You know, I don't know where he ranked in non-PPR.
Highly based
on PPR.
But I'd
say it's pretty, you know, fairly close. But, I mean, McCaffrey was just a huge bright spot on that Carolina offense and on any fantasy squad.
And yeah, even when Carolina was bad through the end of the season, I mean, 5 or 6 game losing streak, he was still good fantasy.
He was still on fire. That's when he probably got his hottest streak.
Because
second half of the season, he went nuts with the running yards as well. I mean, put him over 1,000 yards rushing. Like, you can't tell me in fantasy land that you definitely saw McCaffrey running for 1,000.
We were talking preseason at like 700 yards would be satisfied because he's going to be a top five guy. With 700 yards rushing, he'd been a top five guy in PPR.
Absolutely.
13 touchdowns, 1,900 yards total.
Wow.
That's through week 16. I mean, it's 18. Let me do some quick math. No, I mean, he's got a chance to be a 2,000 total yard player this year. And possibly, I mean, he'd have to have a monstrosity receiving game, but he's going to go 900 yards receiving and probably 1,150 on the ground. I mean, that's...
He has an outside shot to do what David Johnson wanted to do this season.
Dude, that's not completely out of nowhere, but you just didn't see the 1,000 yards on the ground.
There you go.
You just didn't see
it. I agree 100%.
Yep, and he still put up the catches. And before we move on, let's do a little something real quick.
Do a little something.
We're going to do a little something.
Do a little, I don't know what it is, but give me that something.
We're working on it.
You're just
Foster.
You're just popping.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic.
Ooh, comes through good.
So, folks, we have Chris Foster, who is our writer for the Back Row Fantasy Show on the website. He runs the boards for us, which you've done a great job. I know we already thanked you on Twitter, but there's never enough thanks to go around. But real quick, Chris, we are going to contact a few folks that are available on the Skype and find out how your fantasy season went across all your leagues. Granted, we don't have a ton of time, but Chris, how was your fantasy season this year? What did you do in your leagues? Did you win any championships? Why didn't you? And just tell us why.
Oh, thanks for having me on, guys. It's a pleasure to be with you, as always.
You're part of the back row, bro. You're going to be on anytime you want.
I appreciate it. I had a pretty decent year. Had two championships, two second places, two third places, two fourths.
Nice. Not bad at all.
And a couple that weren't quite as good as that. But I'm filing those away as learning opportunities, if you know what I mean.
Same. We just talked earlier, which you'll hear on the recording, like, there is no championships at this table this year, which is sad, but we've got a lot of playoff berths, like 95% playoff rate and no championships. And I figured out part of the reason is for me was Adam Thielen. I had Adam Thielen shares in a lot of leagues, and I lost a lot of those games by the points that Adam Thielen had been putting up through the first 13 weeks of the season. So there's always a common denominator that makes you go, man, he got me there, but then he killed me when I got there.
Yeah. The regression was bound to happen, right, with him.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
He's a great receiver, and but with the changes that happened on that offense, struggling with DeFilippo, having him get removed, and trying to be more run centric, it was bound to happen. That regression was going to happen, but
the writing was on the wall.
Not only was the writing on the wall, the audio was on the internet of Nitt saying exactly what was going to happen in Minnesota once DeFilippo got canned. He said, it's Dalvin Cook time. Sell your shares of Adam Thielen while you can. Guess who didn't listen? This guy right here. I didn't listen to you, Nitt.
Yeah, no.
And then you
whipped
me into playoffs.
Yeah, you had it.
Dude, congratulations on the two wins, two second places. That's big. That's big money. That's big. Yeah. Hang your hat on that.
Yeah, yeah. I think I managed to make sure that I've got some cash to play next year.
Right. That's basically what I did. Like, hey, you want enough cash to pay your league fees for next year? Would you like to do that? Like, absolutely, I would. So I have empty pockets, but very few fees due in June.
Very good. Well, I think my
silver linings.
Yeah, absolutely. Overall, my biggest mistake was Gronk.
I was getting ready to ask you if you wanted to give us your favorite player that you didn't see coming, and then your most hated player that you didn't see coming. So we'll chalk up Gronk as your most hated player that you did not predict. Nobody could predict, you know. Yeah. I'm sure a few people out there did, but everybody's going to take their 50-50 stab in the dark. But if Gronk was your guy that you were disappointed in, who on your teams, or on your team, I should say, was somebody you didn't expect much out of and they gave you more than you bargained for?
Well, that's a really good question.
There doesn't have to be an answer if you weren't ready for that. We called you on the fly, so.
who is your fantasy MVP? The guy that across – not just necessarily your team, but the cheapest guy you saw that outperformed everyone.
Well, the guy that came up big for me, and this is something when you look at a lot of the, end of the season statistics, he showed up on a lot of people's championship teams, is James Conner. He was the guy that is, I mean, I was drafting him in a lot of leagues. I was able to add him free agent wise as well at the beginning of the year.
Good love of that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And, he carried me a lot of the way. And of course those second place teams, he was on those second place teams. So I kind of, I think I would have had a chance to take it if he would have been around, but, James Conner, he's a great player. You take a look at what he did versus what Lev Bell did, and he's right there. He actually outperformed him in a few situations there. So, I'm looking forward to seeing him play again next year. He's a he's going to be a key player.
To put it in perspective of where James Conner got drafted on my fantasy league, he was generally a 12th rounder, 1209, pick 185, and the running backs that went just ahead of him was Buck Allen, Corey Clement, Darius Geis, and Ty Montgomery.
So you stole him.
So you stole the guy.
Yeah. I did. Yeah, I stole him big time.
I had him in my third place finish team too, and he killed me come playoff time. But my God, I was running him in the flex with Gurley and Fournette at my 1-2 running back combo all season long. And I was just demolishing teams right then and there with James Conner. And he was as you mentioned, he was a free agent pickup for me in this 10-teamer. I mean, I got him for free, and he just I ended up as the second highest total scorer and. Just demolish teams early on.
Yeah, well, you can roll, I mean, it was totally legitimate at the beginning of the year to draft CMC and Melvin Gordon. And then you go and pick up a guy like Connor in the 12th round. You know, I mean, gosh, you're 1, 2, 3 are just, unstoppable, going through the season. I mean, that's, injuries, of course, took him down, took Gordon and Connor down, but. Man, for the most of the time, you're rolling out a lineup that's just unbeatable.
Yep. And I expect Connor to be even better next year. I mean, once he got this confidence under his belt, like I expect him to do even more. But Chris, thanks for joining us. We're going to do this with a few more guys, but we're also going to get back into our rankings and our awards, the mighty awards ceremony. I mean, there's people lined up outside on the red carpet. That's a total lie. Just waiting to hear these awards.
It was awful trying to get in here without getting my picture taken a dozen times. All the flash bulbs.
Right on, guys. Right on. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work, and I'll talk to you soon.
You as well. Thanks for what you do, and we look forward to more articles and more of Foster's Fantasy Football.
Thanks.
Good to hear from you. It is good to hear from Chris. It's been too long already. So glad you were around to do this, Chris. Have a great evening.
Yeah, you too, guys.
Good night, Chris.
See you, man.
Yep. Bye.
All right. So Chris had some luck as well. Some second place finishes. Sounds like his teams did about what my teams did. So
two league wins, man. Two league championships.
Did he say two championships?
Yeah, his leagues did better than yours.
Yeah, he killed me.
Thank God that he writes articles for us.
Two first, two second, two thirds, two fourths. I mean, and I think he had said two or three. I mean, he was like 85% on making the playoffs and finishing well. So beautiful.
Research. Glad we got that guy on our team.
Yeah. Research pays off. Imagine that.
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
No doubt.
All right. So let's talk about I wanted to touch real quickly on James Conner. I had him listed as my offensive breakout player of the year. Breakout just meaning, we not everyone saw that coming, and I'm not saying that we 100% did. I was one of those guys that made a few trades for Lev Bell across some leagues because I thought he was going to come back. So that being said, since he didn't, James Conner to me lived up to what he's capable of and then some. So I have him as my breakout player of the year.
See, James Conner is my second most impressive running back. Okay. Now, Connor.
I don't think he'd be my second most impressive. Breakout. But
I'm talking about from whenever we're talking a running back MVP based on what you paid for him. Because, if you're going to say MVP, it's Christian McCaffrey. But Connor came off the board at running back 56, but Philip Lindsay came off the board at running back 73.
I will say I got him as my honorable. He's rookie of the offensive rookie of the year.
Almost 20 picks, 20 running backs later. Okay.
73rd average coming off the board. And that, I mean, if you think that's a third string running back.
Yes.
On an NFL team. Yes. You're drafting him. I mean, and then he puts up running back, low end running back one numbers all year long.
There were, I will guarantee, thousands of leagues that Philip Lindsay did not get drafted in, and he finished as a top 15 guy.
Yeah, and he didn't kill you week to week. He had 2 weeks where he was single digits. One, he got ejected. The other one, he got hurt this past week. I mean, he was extremely consistent. Never put up an absolute monstrosity of a week, but he never killed you. He was just super consistent.
You're absolutely right.
On a bad team, too. So I like that as the breakout. That's got to be your breakout guy.
My breakout running back. I mean, his ADP was 276. He was an 18th rounder.
Afterthought.
You want to transition that into the offensive rookie of the year in fantasy?
I was going to go onto my wide receiver.
Go ahead.
My breakout wide receiver this year is actually going to be Tyler Boyd. Typically wide receiver 97 coming off the board, finishes a top 15 guy. I mean, I do have another guy as honorable mention, but I'm afraid you might take him. But, you know, the consistency Tyler Boyd brought you all year long, you got to be impressed with what he did. I mean, granted, he benefited a little bit by A.J. Green going down, but if you look when him and A.J. Green played together, he was still pretty darn good. Still, you know, very efficient. So
I don't think he was any better when A.J. went down.
No, I'm saying the argument could be, well, A.J. wasn't there. Mm. You know, that got him extra targets. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. The team was better with A.J. there, but
Tyler Boyd
was just as good. But to finish from go from basically pick 100 or wide receiver 100 to 15, that's pretty darn impressive.
He's definitely on my breakout short list.
I'm good with that. I mean, there's the number one guy in fantasy football, Devontae Adams. You got to give a little credit. I mean, I think we all had him around top 10. I didn't see a number one finish at this late in the season.
I saw the possibility, but I wasn't a believer that he would be able to get past A.B. and Hopkins.
A.B., Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Tyreek. I mean, those are big names to hop, and he absolutely did that, even on a bad Packers team. So he's got to mention. I totally agree with you on Tyler Boyd, just the out-of-nowhere kind of guy. But looking down just a little bit further from him, a guy we hated on. We've actually hated on this guy for the last couple weeks. Kenny Golladay.
Oh, okay.
That was
still
actually
top
my
20 guy.
He was my runner up.
He's top 20 guy.
He came off the board as wide receiver 49.
But yeah, not nearly as far down as Tyler Boyd, but he's still, I mean, extreme value in him. The only other guy I'd like to mention, if you want to throw one in real quick.
I was just going to transition off of that. When you mentioned Golladay, my runner-up for comeback player of the year in fantasy Amari Cooper.
Right.
I mean, I know he was still inconsistent, but he finishes, we're not going to count week 17. He finishes the fantasy season as a top 20 wide receiver, averaging 15 a game, and that was with half a season with the Raiders. So, I mean, honorable mention, comeback player of the year. I would not be upset to have Amari Cooper on a few of my teams next season.
Yeah,
me either.
And it's a comeback in two ways. Come back from last season and come back from the first part of the season with the Raiders. I mean, if you made a trade for him, if you believed in the talent of him, made a midseason trade with him when he took off, you stole him.
Yeah.
I mean, you got top 10 production over the last half of the season, barring week 17. I mean, he was extremely good. 16. With 16. He was extremely good with Dallas. The only other guy, comeback player of the year, bounce back player of the year, whatever you want to call it, T.Y. Hilton was really good this year.
He was good.
I'll admit it. Top 15. Never did not believe in T.Y. Hilton. I thought it was very flukish, like an Allen Robinson early career takeoff and then never going to get that again. Came close. Nice season.
Before Arms chimes in with some of his, I want to throw in just another name that I was looking at as a comeback player of the year, just because he's so deserving and he's doing what most running backs at his age couldn't dream of doing. But Adrian Peterson was definitely, I looked at him in my comeback player of the year thoughts, and he signed off the street. In the preseason, week 3 or 4 of the preseason?
More or less, the Darius guys went down and they scrambled for a running back. Nice to have an all pro.
Yeah,
availability
just,
in the NFL.
Just chilling out there.
You bring him in off the streets. He puts up a top 20 fantasy season at the running back position, and he goes over 1,000 yards again at age 33.
That's actually going to be my comeback player of the year as well.
For running back.
You thought he was done. If you looked at what he did with Arizona, you looked at what he did with the Saints in the brief time, you just thought he was done.
And you know, I kind of feel for him. They had good vibes going with Alex Smith,
mm-hmm.
and that happened, and that team derailed.
From contender to nothing.
Yeah, they just couldn't put up points. You kind of feel for the guy having that great late career rebloom or whatever you want to call it, and then it just gets derailed by quarterback play that he can't help. But all in all, still proved that he's a legitimate running back. Will he be back in Washington next year?
I was getting ready to say that. Do they re-sign him until Geis is ready to take the – like, you know, do they keep him as insurance? I don't see any other thing on that team that would keep them from saying, no, Adrian, we're done with you. I'd bring him back again and let Geis in slowly like Dalvin Cook. Use AP as your Latavius.
That's what I was going to say. You've got enough in Geis and enough belief in Geis, I believe, with that organization to where they want him to be the guy. He's young, he's strong, he's super athletic. You know, it wouldn't be a bad thing to have AP around for the first 4 or 5 weeks.
No, I say whole season, just wean him off, you know, as Geis gets healthy.
Yeah, you're not going to get 1,000 yards out of AP next year just because there's going to be less. The ball's not going to be put in his belly as much. I mean, Darius Geis is going to take that share away from him. But, I mean...
You're not getting 500 yards out of Samaje Perine, so you should probably bring AP back.
Getting 5 yards out of Samaje Perine.
He could do 5.
I love Samaje Perine. I wanted him to be good.
I still think that he's a...
He's my comeback player next year.
Yeah, I really do believe that somewhere down the line, he's going to play meaningful snaps for somebody.
Some sort of LeGarrette Blount?
Yeah, a little blunt.
I think he's a more athletic guy than him, but the guy's got the... He doesn't have Adrian Peterson, Billy. Let's just get that out of the way.
All right, we can't talk about Samaje.
He's got a chance with the right opportunity to be a good running back. Not a great running back, but a good running back.
The back row fantasy, sir, does not endorse Samaje Perine draftability.
Where do you guys want to hit on next before we call in our next friend of the show to see how his season went?
Tight end, baby.
Ooh, tight end.
My breakout tight end. My favorite guy. It's Kittle.
Yeah, Kittle was a revelation for a lot of people.
Kittle came off the board as tight end number 15, a ninth rounder, and finishes as a top three guy. And he's right there in the argument of being...
I traded him.
Coming out... I traded him to you, and you traded him to Niddle. I don't even want to hear it. But coming out next year, to me, Kittle's probably the first tight end off the board next year. And that's just based on age. In dynasty based on age,
Ertz all
no
day.
Way.
Kittle is. I'll take Kittle over Ertz next year.
Ugh, no definitely. Way. The back row fantasy show does not endorse
Aaron Arms.
Aaron Arms' opinions in any way.
welcome our guest today, Aaron Arms. Used to be full time member of the back row fantasy show.
Hey, I'm just
now
saying.
He is one of our guests. You get one per month, sir.
Oh, the rate you guys show up for shows, that's about all the shows we do a month.
Giving it back. Kittle for the MVP, absolutely, 100%.
For old time's sakes, give some to Jay.
But he's definitely the tight end MVP.
Yeah, there's no argument here. I mean, Ertz, you paid for Ertz. Kelce, you paid for Kelce. Gronk, you paid for him and didn't get what you thought. And then you come in with Kittle as in the ninth overall.
Tyler Eifert for O.J. Howard. Those guys were coming off the board before him. I mean, come on. Kittle's amazing. He's one of the – he's without a doubt in that top tier with with Kelce and Ertz. No doubt about it.
I have a distant number two as my most valuable pick. If you say Austin Hooper.
I'm going to come across that table. I was going to say, if you say Austin Hooper, I'm coming across the table.
He had promise
I would drop
on.
Kick you. No, he didn't. He's a turd sandwich.
I'm in agreement on Kittle as breakout tight end. Can we talk? It's going to be unanimous. Offensive rookie of the year, real quick, before we bring on Matt Bruning.
Saquon Barkley.
Saquon.
Who's that?
Who, Bruning?
Saquon.
Oh, Matt.
Saquon? Saquon, as much as I tried to derail the hype, slow it down. I never tried to derail it. I tried to slow it down.
We were just being realistic.
He lived up to expectations.
Exceeded.
And hasn't even.
Did he exceed, though?
He exceeded
my expectation. He lived up, apparently, to 60% of Fantasy World's expectations.
Number three overall and only by 10 points behind Gurley. I know he got to play a game that Gurley didn't, but hey. Beating Alvin Kamara.
Boom.
But he was drafted ahead of Alvin Kamara a lot of times. He was drafted ahead of Ezekiel Elliott a lot of times.
We're not saying he's a great value. We're saying he lived up to expectations.
That's what I'm saying.
He definitely.
He said exceeded. I didn't say I said
Alvin
he lived
Kamara's,
up to
it. I think it's debatable.
Kamara's
whether
ADP
he exceeded
is 6
or lived
and
up.
Saquon 7.
I think he nailed it. He nailed it as the number 3 running back.
Nailed it.
And you know what? Kind of in the same mold of what I say about Kittle, it wouldn't surprise me if Saquon was the number one guy off the board next year.
And Saquon's just going to get better. Matt Bruning, welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, you know, just talking a little bit of fantasy awards.
Bruning.
So Matt Bruning, friend of the show, has been on a handful of times, and now he's back. Matt, tell everybody how your fantasy season went. How many leagues were you in? What were your finishes? What was the common denominator and why that happened? You got the floor. Well,
I'm in 16 different leagues, mostly only playing two redraft. See here, I made the playoffs in 7 of them, but only got to 3 championships, 1-2 dynasty ones. Those are consisted mostly of players such as Odell, Cousins, Baker, Saquon, got Chubb in 2 of them. And then in my redraft league, I lost, I was a 2-time champion. I was looking to repeat this year, 3-peat technically this year. And I lost by 0.7 points.
Oh, please tell me it wasn't a stat correction.
No, it was, it came down to, I had Odell and Aaron Jones and who else did I lose? And Josh Gordon.
Brother, I feel your pain. I lost in the semifinals over that.
Yeah, I had a, trying to think of what it was that, that it was Tim Patrick. That it was. I had Tim Patrick going Monday night in that Denver Broncos game. I needed him to get a catch for 2 yards on that last play where Keenan threw
it. Who'd have thought at the tail end of 2018 that we said, it all lied on Tim Patrick.
Yeah.
But that's how it comes a lot of times. A lot of times you run into injuries. Did you run into AB? Were you up against AB a lot of in any of these championship weeks?
No, I got lucky on in all of my playoff. Well, I ended up with a bye, so I missed out on that 1 week. I can't remember who went off that first week, and then the week prior, I had a horrible week. It was one of those lucky weeks where I put up like 113, and the other guy put up like 80 points. So I barely skipped by because the other two teams put up like 140 each. And then in the championship game, I actually thought I was going to win it because the guy had Gurley. And he plugged in C.J. Anderson right at the last second before lineups locked. And I was like, oh, well, you know what? I've got the bag. You know, C.J. Anderson, he's not going to do that good against the Arizona Cardinals. And he proved me wrong. He made me shut up pretty quick.
Yeah, me too. I didn't see that coming. I didn't think C.J. Anderson. I just thought he was done.
I'm right with you.
My championship game, C.J. Anderson was a free agent. I was up against Todd Gurley. And I actually outbid the guy just to take C.J. off the board. And who didn't pop on me in the 1 o'clock game? I forget who he played.
Was it Justin Jackson?
He rolled out James White.
Damian Williams.
But before, he rolled out James White before Gurley was announced out, and James White actually had a bounce back week and put up a touchdown against me. So I still got killed going up against Gurley with Gurley on the bench. So that frustrated the hell out of me.
Awkward silence.
Still there, Matt?
Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry, I was just listening to Nick talk about his.
I was on my crying train. I was playing my. It was a bad week. I hate losing to James White on a last minute entry. So, how many championships you get? 1 championship.
I got 2. 2 dynasty ones. One, both of them in my home dynasty leagues. I've been in one of them for 8 years and one of them for 5 years.
It always feels good to finish in the long termers. Like yeah. I was a floor mat in our league of record for the first few years because I was just swinging too many deals. And then a moment of clarity happens. You put your team together the right way and things work out.
Nice when the investment pays off long term.
Right.
Who's your tight? Who's your tight ends in your 2 league winners? Just curious.
George Kittle. It's George Kittle.
Hey, he didn't even hear the show. He just got done talking about George Kittle.
Arms over here tweeting.
I love George Kittle, man. Yeah, I own him everywhere I can. I've got him, and then my other one's David Njoku. I mean, he helped me out this week, but hasn't really done much for me most of the season.
Well, you know, when you're a Browns fan, you roll Njoku out there.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
you got to do what you got to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Matt, thanks for letting us call you. Thanks for telling the folks where you finished in the fantasy season. We're going to talk to a few more guests of the show as we roll this out, but we're going to get back to some handing out some awards for the people out there on the red carpet waiting for their turn. You know, we've got Saquon outside the door waiting for his rookie of the year playoff trophy that we're going to hand. Hold on, Saquon. Hold on, bro. So thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. You guys have a good weekend.
See you, Matt. Thanks, brother.
See you, bro.
All right, so now we got Bruning. It's good just to hear what happened, what people did in their fantasy leagues, but we digress. Let's move on. Comeback player of the year, I just got to throw it out there. Not the runner-up, not the honorable mention. Andrew Luck, dude. Andrew Luck, fantasy comeback player of the year. We're talking about a guy that we didn't even know when he was going to play, how effective he was going to be.
I feel like I got chastised for having him in my top 10.
Number four overall quarterback in our league record above Drew Brees, who had a great year. Comeback player of the year on offense, baby.
I chastised you. I tore you apart on the Andrew Luck thing.
I
didn't think he had the team around him, to be quite honest. And then all of
still
a sudden,
don't know if he does.
Well, he makes people better. He can carry three tight ends to relevance at times. I mean, T.Y. Hilton, again, my borderline bounce back receiver of the year, is suddenly extremely fantasy relevant. I mean, Andrew Luck makes players better around. He made that running back core better. I mean, I don't think Marlon Mack is that great of a running back, but over the last half of the season,
he's
extremely
good.
Solid guy, right, especially in deeper leagues, but he makes the running back, all tight ends, and can carry a wide receiver to relevance. Andrew Luck is absolutely your bounce back player, or comeback player.
Think about
of the year.
It. Whenever T.Y. was out, he made Chester Rogers relevant.
Semi.
He made Mo Alley Cox relevant. Who?
Dude played basketball.
Right. But listen, Andrew Luck, 36 touchdowns against 14 picks, over 4,000 yards again. It's like he came back and nothing bad ever happened. He had one of his best seasons as a pro. Not his best, one of his best seasons as a pro, coming back from obscurity.
Possibly career-ending injury. That's the crazy thing about it. Like, there was question marks whether or not Andrew Luck was ever going to play football again.
It was extremely questionable. I mean, he was tough to draft in dynasty leagues just because you thought you were wasting a pick. I mean, it could have been a complete waste of the pick. But all of a sudden, I can't believe I'm going to ask this question, but I want to say, like, well, first off, is he ever going to win a Super Bowl? Are they going to get the team around him?
I don't think so, but they're on their way if they're going to.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, they took some devotion to defense in the past couple drafts.
They need another season or two.
So they need to, in my opinion, I mean, I think, DeNico Autry, he's a top five defensive lineman for fantasy purposes. You got Darius Leonard, you know, one of the best linebackers in the league. Malik Hooker, one of the better safeties, not great yet, but they're addressing all levels of defense. I think they need to focus more on that front seven, and once they build that, I think that they're going to be a playoff contender.
They're
going to
need some wide receiver help too.
Yeah, they're a little ways away, but
really good tight ends. Luck like seven.
Andrew Luck has some time to win a championship.
He does.
If they can get a big receiver, because T.Y. he's just not a red zone target. That's why the targets in the red zone go to tight ends. But if they get a big receiver in the draft, can develop him over 2 or 3 years, they might be the real deal. Because, I mean, you can roll out Marlon Mack and Nyheim Hines, and they'll be solid for you. Just what you need in the modern NFL to get you to the playoffs and be competitive, keep the running game balanced. But if they get a big receiver to go with T.Y. and that tight end core, Andrew Luck could be very good fantasy-wise, and they could be year-in, year-out playoff contender, but I feel like he's a guy. I feel like he's a Super Bowl quarterback.
Well, just to put it in perspective, so the guys who keep great quarterbacks out of Super Bowls, they're Peyton Manning, right, and he's gone. Tom Brady is going out the door. Ben Roethlisberger's heading out.
He has a chance to be the premier quarterback in the AFC.
That's my point. You know, going forward in the AFC, he's going to be
right there with him.
Yeah, but going forward, it's going to be him, Mahomes, Deshaun Watson.
The thing with – I'll go ahead and say it. You know, I can believe I'm saying that. Like, I don't think this is too far-fetched. I think Andrew Luck's a better NFL quarterback, can be a better NFL quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes lights it up in a fantasy world, obviously. But at the end of the day, he makes questionable decisions. Now, will he develop in that savviness? Yeah, probably. But Andrew Luck is very Peyton Manning-like.
If you put
very cerebral at that position. Like,
I agree.
He's a guy who can win a Super Bowl.
If you put the games that the Chiefs have lost, they lost because there was a more experienced quarterback on the other side of the ball.
Bingo. They didn't get against the Patriots. They settled for field goals when Tom Brady was putting it in the end zone.
And you don't have that's a big thing about, you know, someone like an Andrew Luck who doesn't have that mentality. I've got to score 7 touchdowns. I've got to work the clock and get down the field.
I got to win this game.
Philip Rivers. I got to work the clock, get down the field. Tom Brady, work clock to get down the field. And you know it's working out for touchdowns versus. My God, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, last I checked, I want to say 45 touchdowns at least.
48.
48 touchdowns? Okay.
Scoring in a minute and a half.
He's great, but he's basically almost a Chip Kelly-like offense, just rushing down the field, not giving that defense any time to get rested to stop the other team.
Can we add in the recent news, which doesn't mean it's going to happen, and I don't believe it will happen, but you've also got a guy like Le'Veon Bell telling the press that he wants to be a Colt. So, I mean, I don't know that that's going to happen. I think the Colts are fine with their low-cost options and Mac and Hines. Sounds like a side dish at a restaurant. Give me some Mac and Hines. But, you know, the options out there, if they do want to
up... Cheese
if
and ketchup.
Right. If they do want to up the ante on offense... And open that window up a little more. I mean, Lev Bell would like to play for you, so you have the option.
Here's the thing. I just don't think that it makes sense for them to spend that money. If Le'Veon Bell still has his own price tag that he thinks he's worth, I don't think it makes sense to spend that money on him.
No, I don't either. And I'm not pounding the table for it either. I think the Chiefs are a way better fit regardless of whether they re-sign Damian Williams to a 2-year extension. And there's other teams out there that fit as well. Product of the system, Damian Williams. But I will say he has showed some burst since he came onto the scene. I don't want to discredit him too much. I was surprised at the way he got through the hole in the past couple games. So I got to give him a little bit of credit. But give me Lev Bell if you got the chance, if you're KC. But I do feel you on the Luck thing with the Colts. I mean, the window's not closed.
And it's a weaker division. I mean, like, Deshaun Watson is your other quarterback in that immediate division there to contend with. But, Andrew Luck, the window's opening. It's not open yet, obviously, but the window's opening for championships and division titles and playoffs.
I mean, there could be somebody else, but I can't think of anyone off the top of my head that, you know, screams, you know, Super Bowl-caliber quarterback in the AFC.
Yeah, Philip Rivers, but the window's closing.
Yeah, he's in the same mold as, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, though. They were the same draft class. Their time's limited.
It'll be interesting to see Baker's development.
I agree.
But I'm not putting him in that combo.
Andrew Luck is a significantly better quarterback than Baker Mayfield.
Yeah,
and
it's
rookie versus rookie. It's not close.
No, not right now.
I know, but I'm saying Andrew Luck's rookie year. He was miles ahead of where Baker Mayfield is today.
Developmentally.
Yes.
Decision-making, et cetera.
As a cerebral quarterback, I'll say yes. But, yeah. I mean, as far as stats go and leadership skills, I think Baker's there. But I think Andrew Luck was just a smarter football player. So I agree with you. Just vaguely, I guess. Lightly.
Andrew Luck had 4,400 yards and 23 touchdowns his rookie year. I mean.
Hey, Baker didn't even start game one.
That's pretty darn good.
Bit of a break. All right, any more offensive players to talk about before we give away our defensive awards?
Defensive awards? We do that?
I got some defensive awards to hand out. There's a couple guys outside the door waiting on them.
We're going to give out independent defensive player of the year award.
Yeah,
fantasy.
IDP.
Fantasy.
Sweet, man.
Fantasy player awards.
I like this.
Do that and then go through some disappointments?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. I just want to make sure we're not leaving out of disappointments because I've got several.
Oh, no. We're not leaving those out. This episode may be a little long in the tooth and a little longer than normal, but we've got to get those disappointments out there. It's a big part of fantasy. breakout defensive player. There's a lot to choose from on these defensive awards, but man, my breakout is Chris Jones. We're talking about a waiver wire defensive lineman that finished as a top five.
Preach.
Top five D lineman in IDP leagues. I picked up Chris Jones off waivers midway through the season, and he gives me a top five finish. He's my breakout. He's that guy no one saw coming on the defensive end in IDP, and he came through and probably helped you get to the playoffs over the second half of the season.
And on top of that, didn't do a whole lot in the first six games. I mean, he came on.
That's why it was waivers.
Came on in the second half of the season to a top five finish. Nuts. I mean, he's got to be your breakout player of the year. There's no one else on here I wouldn't expect to be on here. I didn't see Aaron Donald leading it just because leading all defensive linemen just because of the double teams he sees, just because the attention he gets. He gets double teamed and chipped by a tight end or a running back. They try to do that almost every play.
He's so diverse.
Funny you mention him. He's so my diverse. IDP player of the year.
My breakout player of the year, I'm going to go with linebacker here, Corey Littleton. I mean, the guy steps in and out of just nowhere, nobody's picking up Corey Littleton in draft. He's not a rookie. He didn't play, I don't think, at all last year, and ends up as the number two overall linebacker in fantasy. I mean, the guy steps in for Alec Ogletree and performs better.
Mm-hmm.
Performs better than what I think a top 15 linebacker.
Yeah. Oh, if we're going just straight up any position MVP, mine's my dude, my drafted, the guy I was in love with in the draft, knew he was going to be a stud, thought his time was more 2 or 3 years down the road. It's Leighton Vander Esch. I mean, his opportunity came knocking early, and the guy just blows it up. I know you got another rookie there, Darius Leonard, leading everybody, but
Vander Esch is my special mention rookie of the year on defense. I mean, he's not the guy that took the title home, but he's right there.
Yeah, I
were right there.
You were right there. But
should I let him in the back door?
Yeah, most valuable pick, Leighton Vander Esch, man. I mean, drafted considerably later than most linebackers in general, just because he's a backup. Now, he wasn't a Chris Jones waiver wire pickup, but I mean, the guy put up again what we talk about all the time in IDP linebackers, hoping they put up similar numbers to wide receivers. And he, at a top five finish, he's doing that. I mean, at the linebacker position, stud for years.
Player of the year, I was mentioning him a little bit there, but my IDP player of the year is Aaron Donald. I know there's some stiff competition, but listen, I gave rookie of the year to Darius Leonard, shoe-in. I didn't want to give him two awards. I should have, but Aaron Donald doing what he did with those double teams, 19 and a half sacks, and we got another game to go from a defensive. Is he playing defensive tackle?
He plays a hybrid.
He might
play safety.
But I mean, he's coming from
everything.
He's coming from many different angles and just dominating the league. He doesn't even need Ndamukong Suh beside him to do that. It helps.
For what he's doing this year, Ndamukong Suh is a big reason of Donald's statistics this year. His effectiveness.
It's a solid reason, but I don't think he needed him.
In the NFL? No. He didn't need Ndamukong Suh, but what he's doing this year fantasy-wise absolutely needs Ndamukong Suh. Yeah,
I agree with you on that. I mean, he's always going to be a disruptor regardless, but he gets stats because of Ndamukong Suh and Corey Littleton. I mean, they blitz him at a handful of times out of the
line. A lot of Rams in there.
Surprisingly. For such
John
an
Johnson, offense, he gonna get an award tonight,
dude. John Johnson is your come out breakout out of nowhere.
Your Stole Knits Heart Award, John Johnson.
Guy just dominates the safety position.
Dude, show us your John Johnson tattoo.
JJ the third.
It's a stick of dynamite. It's a stick of dynamite with John Johnson's jersey number.
I can tell you this tattoo is gonna be relevant for 7 to 8 years. Guy's a stud, gonna be through his 30s.
And then you can get it covered up with a Don Johnson tattoo over top of it.
Start wearing my white Miami Vice slippers.
Ooh, I was gonna go with Nash Bridges, but All right.
Do you guys have a different player of the year IDP wise?
My player of the year, like I said, it's Corey Littleton. That's where I was going with that.
Is your overall? He was your breakout. He's your overall IDP player of the year in fantasy.
I'm giving the rookie of the year to somebody else.
That's right.
I think we're getting some confusion here. So
yeah, my breakout player of the year. Mine's kind of weird.
Here's my thing.
Breakout out of nowhere, but who was your MVP, defensive MVP?
My breakout out of nowhere, my breakout of nowhere is Littleton.
Okay.
The D-Roy, defensive rookie of the year, and my overall MVP
is Darius Leonard. Okay. That's what I was aiming for. That's what I was looking for.
And that's where I'm going. That's what I was saying. Good choice. That's what I was trying to say. Leighton Vander Esch is my out of nowhere breakout player of the year because he was drafted way behind, expected to be a backup, etc.
Yeah, he's a backup.
But I'm going to go defensive player of the year in fantasy football, Darius Leonard. I mean, that dude is insane. And he gave you so much. He gave you four more points a game than number two. I mean, that would be my argument against your boy.
God. Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald. He wasn't that much better than number two. Darius Leonard was a full 4 points better than number two. That's mind-boggling to me that he kept that consistent.
Seven sacks, too.
Kept that consistent.
This guy can do it all.
15 tackles a game.
Darius Leonard finished between David Johnson and T.Y. Hilton, above Joe Mixon and George Kittle.
Got him in every league, boys.
Just think about this.
Stud. But an expected stud to
From
me
us,
preseason.
If we gave you anything in the offseason that you should have been like, I am going to listen to this show for life, it was that. It was Darius Leonard.
Then there's Leighton Vander Esch.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about how he's the next Sean Lee, and that's where I'm going to move on to my linebacker of the year because I'm not going to give three awards to Darius Leonard.
You could.
And I'm not going to give, you know, the out-of-nowhere award to Corey Littleton and the linebacker of the year, but Leighton Vander Esch, he is the linebacker of the year because, just kind of almost as much as Corey Littleton, you didn't expect him to do what he did for the same reason Chad said. He was Sean Lee and Jalen Smith's backup. Think about that. This guy.
Think about it.
Number three overall.
Three or four overall.
Yeah, three or four overall linebacker, and he didn't start to begin the year.
I'll tell you what. You guys better have the comeback player of the year, IDP wise, defensive comeback player of the year. We better be unanimous on this.
Are you doing it now?
Is it defensive lineman?
JJ Watt. Mm-mm. Comeback player of the year. No. Mm-mm. Man, he comes back.
You put
from
him in
doing...
your top 10. We didn't. I have to go with it. I didn't have him in my top 10 defensive lineman.
Yeah, me neither. But I knew he was going to do it.
Okay.
But he wasn't there last year.
Number three overall defensive lineman out of two lost years. JJ Watt comes back and puts up a Pro Bowl season.
And he was the defining line of elite defensive ends. It was him, Danell Hunter,
yeah, Chris
and
Jones
Aaron Donald.
Was next, and Chris Jones is clearly tier two or three.
Yeah. I got to get JJ Watt.
I guess if we're
back.
Talking, okay, come back, yes. I'm thinking a different direction. My defensive lineman year is somebody else.
You are just messing
my
this
bad,
whole thing
My
up.
Bad. Sorry. Because my defensive lineman year is Danell Hunter.
Okay. That's fair. But he's not. He could be comeback too, I guess.
I mean,
he came off a real bad season last year.
Yeah, it wasn't nearly as effective as he has been in years past.
One show a month, arms. That's your limit now.
Listen, 12 and a half sacks in 2016, just seven, and then comes back with 14 and a half this year. That's a heck of a comeback.
Twas a good season.
Twas a fine effort.
Are we going to say safeties? It's so hard to talk about safeties because they're just...
I have one, though. And I'm not going to say he's my safety of the year. I have a rookie of the year. There was candidates. There were three candidates to me for rookie of the year, IDP-wise. And it was Vander Esch, like you guys said. Obviously, I gave it to Darius Leonard as the winner. But Derwin James was right there in the conversation for me because he was great for the Chargers.
He was. He changed the dynamic of that defense on the back end. They had a couple of guys who could hit, who could get tackles, but didn't change it, could take over the game as a tackler and a ball hawk. And that's what Derwin James is. He's the complete package, real deal, Brian Dawkins mold of a defensive back.
And a big part of their
really
success.
I really like that comparison.
The Dawk.
Big part of their success this year. I mean, he's basic. He stepped in, and it's like young Eric Weddle never left.
Ooh. Touché. Touche. He's better than Eric Weddle probably ever was.
Athletically.
That's a big word. So athletically, sure. But.
Now, I don't have a breakout guy, but I do have – well, I guess my guy is a breakout. I don't have rookie of the year on defensive
back. Here
backs.
We go again, Nick.
Sean Williams.
One a month, son. That's all you get.
Sean Williams, safety out of Cincinnati. Been in the league for 6 years.
Oh, it's been one okay,
one every 2 months now. Yeah, one every 2 months. Is
6 years. Last year he had 33 tackles. This year he comes up with 75 tackles.
Hey, you can come on the show once every
75 tackles, 27 assists, and ends up with 4 interceptions. Sean Williams, I believe he was a top 10 or top 15 safety.
If you're verified on Twitter, I motion that they revoke it.
What'd you say, 38 tackles?
Last year he had 33. This year he had 75.
33. All right.
You just didn't expect it to happen. That's my thing.
I'm going to hedge a bet that he got an extra 40 tackles solely based on playing time.
Because they are that bad.
Okay.
Right.
Bengals that bad. I'll go with it. Hey, let me name my boy. John Johnson's for real. 55 tackles last year, 77 this year. Let's go.
Tattoo boy. Let's John go. Johnson. No,
Derwin James. But Derwin James.
Don't look at me in anger, Arms. One every 2 months.
Okay.
Rookie of the year.
Don't threaten me with a good time, because next time you guys are like, you're recording, I'm like, nah, dude, I'm waiting. I'll hit mine up next week.
Jesse Bates, you got to throw a little love.
Hey, Lambert, what's going on?
Bounce back Jesse player Bates. Of the year. Sean Williams in it. Ha-ha Clinton Dix, another guy that bounced back.
Big bounce back.
Different scenery definitely helps. Playing in Washington was kind of the focal point of the defense. Gave a little bit more freedom in the defensive secondary where he could come up to the line, drop back. Ha-ha Clinton Dix, always a great talent. Had him down here last year. Right back, bounce back where he is a top 10 guy this year. Like Ha-ha Clinton Dix.
So to recap so far. Offensive Rookie of the Year, unanimous Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive Rookie of the Year, unanimous Darius Leonard.
Yep.
All right. MVP, Pat Mahomes.
Yep.
Now, on to our disappointments.
Well, yes, I was done with my defense. Ugh, good call. I know you have them on deck. You go ahead and start us out with, which I agree with, you already know.
Quarterback disappointment of the year is captain consistency and all of a sudden bad.
Yeah.
Matt Frickin' Stafford.
Yep, 30th overall in points per game amongst quarterbacks with a 20th overall finish due to injuries to other quarterbacks. Matt Stafford, you truly sucked this year.
You were terrible.
Huge letdown. Never owned you before. Will never own you again.
And you'll probably be a top 5 guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably will be. But just a huge letdown for the talent that he had around him. Probably, other than having Megatron, the most talented team he's ever had around him.
Yeah.
And he sucks.
Who would have known that taking Amir Abdullah out of the starting role would mean Matt Stafford forgets how to play football?
Who knew?
I have another disappointing quarterback position. Dynasty-wise? Matthew Stafford was more of a redraft disappointment.
I love him in Dynasty year in, year out.
Dude,
now
he's like a top 8 guy every year.
Yep.
But tell me if I'm wrong. Dynasty-wise, Carson Wentz
Hurt you.
You knew he was going to have a slow start, but he was just bad, even when playing.
I looked at Wentz. Here's the main difference that kept me away from Wentz. Stafford, 21 points per game in our league format. It's heavy quarterback scoring. Wentz put up over 28.
All right.
So I wasn't that down on Wentz. Like, coming off an injury, this is like the NFL in the 90s. When guys tore their ACL in the 80s and 90s, they came back and it took them a full year of playing after the injury to get back to form. And, Wentz just didn't quite look the same, but he was still effective. Matthew Stafford has no
there's no reason for him to suck.
Excuse.
No reason no for him to suck.
Case Keenum was better.
No, I'll give you a runner-up on disappointment.
Case Keenum was better.
And for points per game, I had him lower than most. But my runner, and actually Chad had him lower than most, I believe. Tom Brady.
Yeah, he was in the combo.
16th point per game.
Yep. He is 74 years.
He is the number. He was number 2 ADP quarterback.
Actually, Tom Brady's only a couple years older than me, but.
Yeah, but he's archaic. So.
Running back wise, who you got? Running back wise, I mean, first off, Lev Bell not playing.
It's Le'Veon Bell. We all know that.
Well, he didn't even play. I can't really call him I can't call him like a fantasy bust if he never touched the field. Like this was one of those things where 50-50, 50% of the fantasy community could have called this, and 50% would have been like, no, he's going to play. So, I mean, to me, not a full-out bust. Mine's Leonard Fournette. I've never been a Fournette guy. I will never be a Fournette guy. I don't care if in 3 games he got you multiple touchdowns and gave you a good game. The dude's never going to stay healthy for a full season, and he's never going to be a consistent top 10 back in the league. This is your warning. Quit messing with Leonard Fournette. He's my fantasy bust of the season at running back. Now I'm fired up.
All right, so in all the games he played, I think he played eight games, I believe it was, three games over 20 points, one game 16 points, the rest of them single digits. I don't care if he's banged up under the same pretenses you have.
Yeah.
Leonard Fournette is just not someone you can rely on.
No.
For where your people were drafting him, Leonard Fournette was a top 15 draft pick, definitely a top 10 running back. I mean, people were just banking that this guy is going to be an absolute stud.
I did.
Matter of fact, Leonard Fournette was the number 7 running back off the board. Number 7. Who you could have got behind him? Hunt, Dalvin Cook, Melvin Gordon, Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon, Jordan Howard. I would take any of those guys over Fournette going forward. I'd take Jordan Howard, no doubt about it, over him going forward.
Leonard Fournette.
I would take Kareem Hunt, knowing his situation, absolutely, over Leonard Fournette.
Leonard Fournette is a more athletic LeGarrette Blount with Kajana Carter's body. It's just, that is the facts. You are going to get a mix between LeGarrette Blount and Kajana Carter for the rest of his career. Fournette. I'll never touch you again.
Being too critical. I think he's the bounce back player of the year.
Oh, Jesus Lord.
2019.
Okay.
Please tell me that's a just argument for the sake of arguing.
He's 23.
Yeah, with knees and ankles of a 35-year-old running back.
He's got the knees of Greg Oden.
I'm not going to argue. From a guy who played a lot, he didn't play a lot. He didn't play a full season, obviously, but he played the most out of the guys on my short list for this disappointment. But Devontae Freeman, you have to put him up in the argument. You thought he was going to come back and bounce back to 2016 form at some. You were hoping, but Devonta Freeman never got right, never got healthy. When he played, he was bad, and they eventually IR him. So a lot of people spent some capital on a Devonta Freeman, not as high as Fournette,
me included.
Yeah, but Devonta Freeman is definitely in the running for fantasy dud of the year at running back.
Couldn't agree more.
No doubt about it.
Wide receiver, Golden Tate. He's my guy. Golden Tate was your consistent 100 catch, top 15 receiver year in, year out.
Mr. 1,005.
Yep, that was
what
always,
he is, 1,005.
Always under the radar. You could always grab him in round 5 or 6. And just didn't happen this year. Maybe it's partly due to Stafford. Maybe it's the change to Philly. I don't know.
He did have 2 bye weeks. I'll give him that.
Okay.
I'll give him that. But my
So did Amari Cooper, you know,
okay,
who's
okay.
One of my comeback guys of the year. So Golden Tate, no excuses for you. Wide receiver bust of the year for me. I'm angry.
The problem with Golden Tate is there was no consistency where that's all he had before. He finished, he gave you a top 15-ish production every year, but it was nothing great. It was always just consistently good, consistently wide receiver 2 numbers that finished as a wide receiver 1. This year it's like, oh, a blip on the radar of decency, and now I suck. And, oh, a bye week, and I suck. And now I'm getting traded, and I suck. Like, come on, Golden Tate. Like, you look like Amari Cooper last year.
Can I give you one more? This one's a bigger dud than me.
You don't have to agree with this.
I've got a different one. Go ahead, though.
No, I'm going. Now, the writing was on the wall for this one, but I thought he had another year in the tank. Maybe another 2 in the tank.
We got the same guy, I guarantee it.
Demaryius Thomas. Yep. Yeah, Demaryius Thomas was absolute dud. I mean, he fell off the map. So far that he fell off the Broncos roster. I mean, they had to get rid of him to get value out of him because not only was the writing on the wall, it was bold to the Denver Broncos organization. They said, we got to cut this guy. And then he goes down with the Achilles, et cetera, et cetera. Demaryius Thomas just from top 10 to almost, I mean, you could play him at wide receiver 3, but it was a stretch.
I will say I saw that one coming in the offseason.
I didn't say I didn't see it. It's just that bad.
I mean, Demaryius Thomas went from a 1,400-yard receiver over several seasons, 90-plus catches over several seasons.
He was elite.
Last year, 83 catches, 950 yards, 5 touchdowns. You expected something like that this year. He finishes this year with 59, 677, and 5. Huge disappointment. Demaryius Thomas was my wide receiver disappointment.
He was elite just a couple years ago, and he's not extremely old. I mean, he's 31. Yeah, he's aging, but Larry Fitzgerald outplayed him at 7 years older than him.
Yeah, we're talking, you know, so, Hall of Famer in Larry Fitz. I don't think Demaryius is a Hall of Famer, but I get your point. He's, you know, it's too soon for him to have dropped off so far, but it happened.
And I don't, with the torn Achilles, I mean, he's done.
He should be.
It's his second torn Achilles.
Oh, he had one in, did he have his one in
rookie
college?
Season? No, rookie season.
Yeah, it was rookie, yep.
Rookie season. I thought it was before he even played. I thought it was coming out of college he had a torn Achilles.
You guys ready to do some Gronk bashing at tight end?
Oh, so it's unanimous.
If it's not, I want to hear the other names.
There is no other name in my book.
It's Gronk. He still was a good tight end for you if you had him, but he was not the competitive edge. He was not that competitive depth, as Niddle calls it. He just didn't get it done for you this season as far as an advantage goes. And so, Gronk, glad I don't own you in any leagues.
And there's times that you look at Gronk, you're like, he's finally healthy. And 2 for 21.
Yeah, I think he's breaking down. I think he's pulling the old Leonard Fournette on us, and he's just breaking down.
To me, there's another guy who is a bigger disappointment to me.
Thank God. Let's hear it.
There is. I'd have to go back to the tape. I think I had this guy ahead of Gronk. It's Evan Engram.
I was looking at him too. So I'm with you.
Evan Engram finished worse than Gronk. Sure. He was worse than Gronk. He's younger than Gronk. He had the opportunity. Now, again, we talk about writing on the wall. He part of his elitish numbers. I don't want to say elitish number. His great numbers from 2017 was because OBJ was down, no Saquon, etc. But he was irrelevant for a lot of the season. He had some blips where he was good.
There were some injuries.
He had some blips, but Gronk had some blips too. I think Evan Engram was a bigger disappointment especially from a dynasty standpoint. A lot of people, you might have traded to get Evan Engram and given up some good draft capital or a good player to go get Evan Engram, and he was just.
Terrible. I'll finish that sentence for you. He was terrible. Let's hit up one more offensive disappointment before we get to our IDP disappointments. And
place kickers?
Rookie. Offensive rookie of the year disappointment. Rojo. Rojo, who got drafted between picks 2 and 5 in rookie drafts. Absolute disappointment. He's definitely my rookie bust of the year because
not only did he look like
he cost you top 5 pick in capital.
He doesn't even look like he has an NFL future.
No, he does.
That's the saddest part of it. Yep. He doesn't even look developmentally sound. Like, he just does not look athletic.
Amir Abdullah 2.0.
Not even that.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad Rojo. Like, he's cuttable in year two. That's how bad he is. And I hate to put it on. Peyton Barber's not a good running back, and he's miles ahead of where Rojo is. I don't believe in Rojo whatsoever. And if you're listening, don't either. Like,
you got to hold him because of what you spent, just in the off chance that something happens, he balks up, he doesn't look the part at all.
He doesn't look developmentally sound.
See, the thing about Rojo is whenever he's not active, week one, week two, week three, you knew to cut bait on him. You know you didn't know to cut bait? Freaking Rashad Penny. The guy he's active. They're playing him in theory, but he's doing nothing with it.
At least Penny had Chris Carson, and there's Chris Carson truthers out there that drafted him and picked him up. In Tampa Bay, there was very few Peyton Barber truthers saying, like, yeah, Rojo has no chance. Peyton Barber is the man.
The thing about Penny, though, I mean, first-round draft pick, you know, the Seahawks typically draft fairly well, and you just think, wow, finally they got a replacement for Marshawn Lynch. And they're doing running back by committee, and it's not even a committee. They're just giving a random guy 18 carries a game.
But you got to say, Penny looks like he could explode at any moment. Rojo just doesn't.
My biggest thing with Penny is you kept seeing, it's like, all right, this guy goes down. All right, we're going to hang on to Penny. With Rojo, you're like, he's not even active.
No.
Like, yeah, they're playing Jaquizz Rodgers. This guy's not going to play. And you held on Penny too long.
The one other guy to throw in this conversation of disappointment, another guy who couldn't even take the job over from another undrafted rookie.
I guarantee it's from my team and my other guy I was looking at.
Right, I'm going Royce Freeman.
Oh, okay.
Couldn't wrangle the job away from an undrafted rookie. But he was relevant, and he had his time. Royce looks – you put Royce Freeman – on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he's their starting running back.
Oh, hell yeah.
Agree.
Or at least a 50-50 time share with Peyton Barber.
Philip Lindsay's just better. I mean, sometimes you just run into a guy that can do it all. Philip Lindsay can do it all.
The thing about Philip Lindsay, people don't realize, rookie, but he's like 25. Like he has experience, not NFL experience, obviously, but he's been around. He understands.
Played in the XFL, didn't he?
Yeah, like come
I'm
on.
Joking,
now.
I'm joking.
But he's been around. Like he 4-year starter, etc. The guy, it speaks volumes to Philip Lindsay. More than Royce Freeman. Royce Freeman, disappointment, but he's a starter at some point in his career.
Oh, yeah. Freeman looked pretty good, but since you brought it up, I just wanted to toss in Mike Gesicki, massive rookie bust.
Horrid.
Doesn't mean he showed a few flashes. It doesn't mean he's Rojo. There's no point in holding on. There is. But he was definitely very disappointing on a team that was void of playmakers. Somebody could have stepped up on Miami and ran away. Being Tannehill's favorite target, Gesicki couldn't do it. Michael Gallup also was quite a disappointment. A
huge disappointment.
To the point where they had to give up first-round picks to bring Amari Cooper in. So I think he has to be mentioned as well as offensive rookie bust.
I agree in both aspects. What I will say about Gesicki is I'm definitely hanging on to him because I think Gesicki's got that second-year breakout potential, something like an O.J. Howard,
right.
You know, something.
Gronk. I mean, Gronk took a season.
Yeah,
but he wasn't as bad as Gesicki is the bad thing.
But Gesicki's got all the talent in the world. I mean, he's ultra-athletic, big hands, great hands, really. I mean, Gesicki.
Big old mitts, boys.
Gesicki's going to be good in the NFL. He is. There's no doubt in my mind. I think that he's, you know, when we're talking in 2 or 3 years about that guy that, you know, won you league, a la George Kittle this year, it's going to be Mike Gesicki.
All right. Let's talk.
I was just going to say, wide receiver-wise, Michael Gallup probably the biggest disappointment. But there wasn't a guy that took off, Calvin Ridley being the best. Andrew Miller, you figured he was a—
Anthony
Miller.
He got going a little bit as the season went on. Like DJ Moore, too.
He's a developmental guy. Christian Kirk, developmental guy. DJ Moore, all wide receivers were developmental guys. There wasn't a guy that was going to go in and dominate. So there's not a
Courtland
huge—
Sutton had a chance, and Calvin Ridley had a chance
to be
superstars.
But neither one of them were disappointments.
No.
If you're talking highest drafted wide receiver that didn't do anything, I mean, it's a guy who is probably going to be irrelevant anyway, DJ Chark. I mean, he was taken in the second round.
DJ Chark, DJ Chark,
That's why I did it. That's why I did it.
All right.
You can move on to the defensive players now.
All right. D-line, disappointment for me, just over 5 points a game, and we expected more, was Melvin Ingram.
Same.
I know he didn't have Joey Bosa on the opposite side of him for over half the season, but Melvin Ingram just did not do much for your fantasy team. He was startable because defensive linemen are hard to come by because there's only a handful, 10, maybe 12, that you really covet, if that. But Melvin Ingram was far below top 15. And just a disappointment. No other way to spin it.
The argument to where you expected Melvin Ingram to be better is him and Bosa were racing to the quarterback last year at times.
They were.
Like, it didn't matter who had, you know, the tight end on their side. You just expected one of them to get to the quarterback. You eliminate Bosa from the equation, and all of a sudden, Ingram is completely garbage. Yeah, I 100% agree with you. Biggest disappointment on the defensive line is Melvin Ingram.
No, I'm flipping the switch here. A guy that we talked about a ton. By we, I mean arms. It's Yannick Ngakoue.
He was horrible.
Horrible.
Oh, that was good eye batter.
I do agree.
Eye batter on that one. Yannick was nothing.
Yannick
freaking sucks.
Yes, he did.
And he still had a guy opposite of him. But back to y'all's guy, totally dependent on Joey Bosa's being there.
The presence of another guy is the only reason he's going to be relevant.
You know what sucks, though? Yannick did have 8 sacks this season. It's just that's it. That's it.
That's his specialty.
No pass defenses.
Being a decent
pass rusher. No forced fumbles. Just a handful of tackles for loss. 12. 8 of those were his sacks. And 22 tackles. I mean, he sucked. But at the same time, nothing wrong with 8 sacks for your team.
I mean, if you literally, he just about matched what he did last year. Just last year looked like a breakout.
Yeah, we expected him to be Chris Jones, not Chris Jones.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, Chris Jones.
So how about your linebacker?
C.J. frickin' Mosley, man. C.J. Mosley was drafted as an elite top 5 linebacker, and he did not give you elite top 5 linebacker numbers. I don't care about the injury that happened midseason, I believe. Doesn't matter. When he came back, still not elite numbers. C.J. Mosley let me down to the point to where I'm not even starting him in my 32-teamer. I was starting Kiko Alonso ahead of him, sometimes Mason Foster. C.J. Mosley, you hurt me, bro. You hurt me deep.
You hurt me. Mine's a guy that I've just tried to cling on to hope that he's eventually going to take off based on talent, his 40 time coming out, just the athletic intangibles that he has. And you know what? I'm done with him. It's Deron Lee. You play every down for the New York Jets, and you just
you're behind constantly.
He started out hot,
but he finished as a 52nd. He's not even. He's so bad.
Told you, Avery Williamson was the dude down there.
He's just so bad. I'm done with it. He's already proven that.
But
he's
hated him in the offseason, anyways. Arms was the truther, right?
I mean, I believed that Deron Lee could be something. I thought he could be a linebacker 3. He's just bad. Like, he just doesn't get to the quarterback.
His mama when didn't he's let blitzing, him play no foosball.
And he doesn't get to the ball carrier when he's not the guy. You said it perfectly. Avery Williamson's the guy to own there, and he's a mediocrely talented linebacker at best than Avery Williamson.
Deron Lee is more talented but can't put it together like Avery. Avery's a better student of the game than, you know, Lee.
Yeah.
My disappointment to linebacker is going to be Miles Jack. So he finally gets a full season in last year. I mean, he's hurt his rookie year. Last year, he gets 65 tackles. You know, you think that he's making that step, making that leap. The Jacksonville defense as a whole is making that leap into absolute greatness in the elite category. And then he gets barely better than he did. Like, you were expecting top 5, maybe at worst top 10 production out of him, and he just lets you down at like 25th, 30th, something in that range. Just you saw more out of him last year than he brought you this year.
Yeah. All these guys we're talking about, like, not draftable going forward whatsoever. Well, C.J. Mosley, I think, can bounce back. But one guy that was disappointment due to injury, Deion Jones, man, that dude's going to bounce back. Like, he's got top 5 written on him next year. One guy that fell off the charts out of the top 10, way, way out of it, Preston Brown's done.
Preston Brown.
Yeah.
Preston Brown's pretty much done. He's older, aging out, not in a good situation. He wants out of Washington. They want him out. Who knows where he ends up?
You're thinking Zach Brown. Preston Brown's in Cincinnati.
Yeah, but you're talking about the right player. You're talking about Preston Brown is...
Same situation, basically the exact same thing. Yeah. Both players, it doesn't matter.
That's but Washington, even more so Cincinnati. Than Zach.
You're thinking Zach. You're confusing the Brown brothers, as we call them.
I was gonna say both Browns are disappointing, really.
But, both ways. But I like Preston Brown take because you got Hardy Nickerson and old kid from Oklahoma,
Texas,
Jordan.
Jordan.
Jordan Hitt. No, Jordan Willis.
Jordan Willis. Is it Jordan Willis? I think it is Jordan Willis.
Good
Lord.
You got
two young linebackers in Cincinnati chopping at the
bit. And they've also got the kid out of Texas that came out last year that I was real high on.
Yeah, the rookie.
Yeah.
They have no one has the experience. Brings the experience to that team.
Nobody should have made him irrelevant the way that he was this year. And I believe an injury came along, but I mean, he wasn't great before then. Not like he was before.
Yeah.
And Vontaze Burfict is about done, too. That dude can't stay on the field. So Preston Brown had a chance to be, you know, really good for that team. But again, Hardy Nickerson and Jordan Evans, not Willis. Jordan Evans and Malik Jefferson's the guy you're thinking about from Texas. They've got a young linebacker core that could step up. I don't like Preston Brown anymore either. Zach Brown,
Willis pretty close to filling the same way. Defense man.
So let's get to those safeties.
Well, I mean, his defensive back as a whole. I'll start it off because I don't know if anyone's going to get any worse than this for what you had last year versus what you got this year. Top five to freaking where Sean Davis finished this year.
This should be almost unanimous. I mean,
we had Sean. I know all of us had Sean Davis really high as that next,
I got one better, though.
That next coming in the mold of a Troy Polamalu, consistent top-flight production. And Sean Davis, just a huge letdown this year.
He was.
I mean, still a young guy, but you just what in the world? With all the opportunity he had, how does Sean Davis finish as low as he does?
I don't know. It was bad.
I get it. My disappointment, we might agree on this one, but I'm going to say I called it. Rashad Jones.
Yeah, he's my guy. He's my disappointment.
Not only number one, miles ahead of the number two guy in 2017. Rashad Jones was beyond elite at the safety DB position, and not irrelevant, but just a huge disappointment in 2018. And it's probably going to remain that way. He's aging out. They got players back there, and they might even move on. So Rashad Jones.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. It definitely is Rashad Jones for me as well. And I do want to throw, I got one last caller. I know we're at the end of the line with this episode.
Hey-o.
But rookie disappointment, Rashawn Evans. Huge rookie disappointment. Not saying that I expected a ton from him, but he gave you nothing. Like, I would have drafted him late second round as a taxi squad stash. Hoping that he would emerge amongst that fairly weak group of linebackers that Javon Brown now owns, and Rashawn Evans could not do that. We were high on him in the offseason.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. Like, we liked Roquan more, but Rashawn Evans to us was a rock solid draft pick as somebody that could contribute.
He was number early four.
Yeah.
Number four.
And Van Der Esch and Leonard, but
I went.
Liked Rashawn Evans.
Yeah. I was Leonard. Roquan, Van Der Esch, and then Rashawn.
I think Roquan, Van Der Esch, Roquan, Leonard, Van Der Esch, something in that range. And then, same thing with Evans. I mean,
absolutely.
God, just huge letdown.
Huge letdown. And that wraps up the awards ceremony for the back row. What? What you got? What? Oh, yeah. Well, we'll do that right after we talk to our other writer, Dan Rozier. He says you need subtitles to be able to understand him. We disagree. Our Australian friend, Mr. Dan Rozier.
The British Texan.
The British Texan. He said he was ready, but we're calling him, and he's not answering. Dan, like Eminem would say when he's eating mom's spaghetti, you only got one shot. Did not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity to come on the back row show comes once in a lifetime, yo. Pick up the phone.
Listen, we only let Dan Cummins on here one time.
No, Dan, please come back again. That was our top episode of our first year of fantasy football, was an episode where a stand-up comedian and greatest podcaster of our generation came on and gave us our biggest downloads to date. Dan, looks like your Australian technology knowledge is just not there. He did not answer, even though he said, "Guys, I'm ready, call me." Didn't happen.
The British Texan.
Didn't happen. Fan of the year. So the Back Row Fantasy Show, this is officially, we are 1 year into this thing. We started in December of 17. We're a year into it, and we have a fan of the year. We have a lot of guys we've met and talked to. Dennis Bennett of Down and Dynasty, Andrew Harbaugh, Brandon Nickel, Frank Bonincontri, Dan Rozier, Chris Foster, Matt Bruning, a lot of guys that we think highly of, Bob Miller, a lot of guys we've talked to a ton, but there's only one, the only one.
He's the Highlander.
He's the Heisman winner of the Back Row Fantasy Show fan club.
There can only be one.
There can only be one. And we must find him. We must crown him, and then we must kill him.
He knew we were going to do this before we did.
Right. Because he knew he was our number one fan.
Exactly.
Listen, we're like literally 5 to 10 episodes in on this little venture of ours, and one guy just jumps off the page as an actual fan. I would say he's our first actual fan where we're like, this guy actually likes listening to us. This guy likes listening to us.
And I like talking to him.
Yeah,
I love the guy.
He's a good follow on Twitter. interacts with us really well. We post something, he shares it, and his name is
Stoops. 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 Choo choo. Stoops train. Stoops.
He's my dude.
And Stoops is the shit. I don't cuss that often on the show, but Stoops is the shit. We love you, Stoops.
Fan of the Stoops, year. There are legitimately times that we are just not in the mood to do this.
That's not true.
And we're like, you know what? We've got fans out there that really do want to listen to us. And you know what? You're the first one that comes to mind literally every single time. And we appreciate everything you do for us.
We do. And listen, whenever anyone starts a podcast and wants to get their voice on the air, the biggest thing that keeps them going and keeps them fueled is for someone to actually like what they're doing. So, like, the first time we talked to Stoops and knew that you liked what we were doing, that was it. We were like, okay, this is why people do this. This is why we're going to do this. Stoops. Stoops.
You did that.
Stoops. I know. I'm just so excited to crown Stoops. If you want to crown him, then crown his ass. Stoops.
He is who we thought he was.
He is who we thought he was. And he's the real British Texan. Stoops.
Stoops, you're the real MVP.
You're the real MVP. Patty Mahomes ain't got shit on you. 49 touchdowns is what Chris Stoops has right now.
Well, that's turned into a vile episode.
I love it. Well, Dan, we're sorry, man. He said to give him 5 minutes, but frankly, we just don't have five. We'll get him on the next episode. Sorry, Dan.
I'm tired.
We love you a long time.
We sleepy, man. It's going on midnight here. Actually, it is midnight. But, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for giving us a really good first year. Stoops, thanks for being there to kiss on our necks when we thought that everything was going to go south. We appreciate it.
Good night.
Peace. See
ya. This concludes another episode of the Back Row Fantasy Show. Thanks for listening, and be sure to give us a review.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.